Thank you for listening to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Larry Suttle, the preaching minister of over 20 years, weekly instructs and encourages those attending the services at the 10th and Broad Church of Christ in Wichita Falls, Texas. Let's join Larry now for this week's lesson.
I want to share something with you this morning to get us into our lesson. It's a little piece written by a fellow I don't have any idea who he is, Kevin DeYoung. And it came off a blog posted back in June of this year. But it's important stuff, I think. Do you remember in, sort of set this up, do you remember in Matthew 16 where Jesus asked the question, "Who do people say that I am?" And then he asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" In many ways, there is no one as popular on one level as Jesus. If you go by the number of times he is referenced or his name is used, not even in a profane way. I know that exists, but I mean just the allusions to Jesus that you hear people make, there is quite a bit of that. So I think he's a popular character, but you wonder about what Jesus exists in people's minds, and that's the idea of this piece. He says there's the Republican Jesus who is against tax increases and activist judges for family values and owning firearms. And there's the Democrat Jesus who is against Wall Street and Walmart for reducing our carbon footprint and printing money. There's therapist Jesus who helps us cope with life's problems, heals our past, tells us how valuable we are and not to be so hard on ourselves. There's the Starbucks Jesus, who drinks fair trade coffee, loves spiritual conversations, drives a hybrid, and goes to film festivals. There's open-minded Jesus, who loves everyone, all the time, no matter what, except for people who are not as open-minded as you are. There's touchdown Jesus, who helps athletes run faster and jump higher than the non-Christian and determines the outcomes of Super Bowls. There's martyr Jesus, a good man who died a cruel death so we can feel sorry for him. There's gentle Jesus, who is meek and mild, with high cheekbones, flowing hair, and walks around barefoot, wearing a sash. And there's hippie Jesus, who teaches everyone to give peace a chance and help us to remember that all we need is love. There's yuppie Jesus, who encourages us to reach our full potential, reach for the stars, and buy a boat. There's spirituality Jesus, who hates religion, churches, pastors, priests, and doctrine, and would rather have people out in nature finding the God within while listening to ambiguously spiritual music. There's platitude Jesus, good for Christmas specials, greeting cards, and bad sermons, inspiring people to believe in themselves. There's revolutionary Jesus, who teaches us to rebel against the status quo, stick it to the man, and blame things on the system. And there's Guru Jesus, a wise, inspirational teacher who believes in you and helps you find your center. There's Boyfriend Jesus, who wraps his arms around us as we sing about his intoxicating love in our secret place. And there's a good example, Jesus, who shows you how to help people, change the planet, and become a better you. And then this Kevin DeYoung, whoever he is, said this: "This Christ is not a reflection of the current mood or the projection of our own desires. That is the Christ we need to be worshiping. He is our Lord and God. He is the Father's Son, Savior of the world, and substitute for our sins, more loving, more holy, and more wonderfully terrifying than we ever thought possible." Philippians 2. Verses 9 through 11. "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Before the Apostle Peter told us to be ready to give an answer to any person who might ask us the reason of the hope that we have, before he said that, just before he said that, he said this: "Set apart in your hearts Christ as Lord." Christ is Lord or He's nothing. And He is the Lord of Scripture, however the Scripture defines Him. Regardless of our little silly image or the fad of the day or the decade, He is the Lord of Scripture. I bought a GPS about a year ago. We were in Dallas and got lost. And I'd been wanting one anyway, so I said, "Well, Nikki, this is a good time. Don't you think?" She said, "Okay." She's tired of hearing about it, I think. You know what GPS stands for, by the way? David knows. Global Positioning System. And they are amazing. Think about this, that little device knows where you are, what direction you're going, what speed you are going. I mean, it's amazing. This GPS. And it will tell you when you need to do this: turn left, turn right, take that ramp. I mean, it's amazing. When we confess Jesus as Lord, whether it's that time initially when the preacher said, "Now before I can baptize you, I've got to ask you a question." You say, "What's that?" "Well, just one question. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God?" "Well, sure I do." "All right, dunk, splash, here you go." And then the countless other times, the countless other times that we are called on, whether it's at Starbucks or at work or at school, to acknowledge Christ, every time we do that, we are acknowledging Him as Lord. And what we are doing is saying He's our GPS. Jesus Christ is our global positioning system from this time forward, that's what I'm doing. That's the confession I make. It's the biggest question you'll ever answer. It's the biggest statement you'll ever make. And yet I see us so often making it so trivial. To follow Jesus as Lord means that whatever He says, I'm going to do. I'm going to say, now, Lord, you know I'll probably mess up at this, but to the best of my ability, I'm going to live it your way. I'm going to say it your way. I'm going to do it your way. That's what I mean. With your help, I am going to consciously form the intention of making Jesus my global positioning system. Now, folks, if that is not your intention when you either were up there or whether you just live your life and you're called on to identify with Christ in some way, if that is not your intention for Jesus to be the boss and your master in every aspect of your life, then you are an admirer of Jesus. You may be a worshiper of Jesus. You may be an adherent, to use some denominational language, to Jesus, but you are not a follower of Jesus. Amen. He is not your Lord. Now, I remember, and I don't think it was on that same trip to Dallas. It might have been on another trip to Dallas. Several times I thought the GPS was wrong. And that lady, whoever she is, who is the spokesperson for my GPS, said, "Turn left." And I said, "Nikki, that's not right. There is no way that's right." And you know what Nikki said? "Why did we buy the thing if we're not going to follow it?" Now keep in mind, you only use a GPS by definition when you're lost, right? You don't know where you are going. The audacity of thinking the GPS is wrong when you don't have any idea what is right. So on who else will we rely when it comes to those forks in our life's road? Are we going to rely on our own instincts? Do we rely on our own inner compass? How has that worked for you? Again, to ask that proverbial question. How's that working out for you? Are we going to follow where everybody else goes? Well, how do we know they're going where we want to go? So on what or whom will we rely? Here, several years ago, in fact, it was back in 2006, Yoko Ono, and I know this is not maybe the best example, because I think we all sort of check her off as being sort of nutty anyway, probably appropriately. But she ran a full-page ad in the New York Times when it came to the anniversary, December the 8th, of her husband's death, John Lennon's death. She proclaimed it to be a national, or a global rather, a global day of healing. And in this ad she said this, and the only reason I repeat it is because she sort of reflects an idea that so many people have in the world today, especially those who are of celebrities and those that we tend to listen to as if they have anything to share with us. But here's what she said. "One day we will be able to say that we healed ourselves, and by healing ourselves, we heal the world." and you can just hear the violins, can't you? Well, that's silly. It's silly. We're not going to heal ourselves. We're not going to direct ourselves. We have no idea what we are doing or where we are going. We have a Lord for that. He's in the business for that. And old Peter said some dumb things in his life, the Apostle Peter. But I tell you what, that old boy grew and matured. And God used him in a powerful way. And one of the greatest statements that I think Peter ever made is recorded in John chapter 6, 66 through 69. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. This is what is called the Bread of Life discourse, because Jesus had just fed 5,000 people. And so he had a lot of followers during that time when he was feeding them. It's amazing how food draws people. They'll come when they are fed. You may be like that. Anyway, in verse 67, Jesus said, in light of the fact that when he stopped serving food, many of them left. He turned to his own disciples and said, "You do not want to leave me too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, and listen to this. This is that great statement I'm talking about. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." My, what a statement. And he was willing to die for that statement. And he did die for that statement. Because he knew it to be true. So if not Christ, then who? One of the biggest, most important lessons that I wish people would learn. I wish these kids down here would learn it. But it's not just them. I mean, you need it. You need it. I need it. But I wish we could learn this and learn it early. The sooner you learn it, the better. And that is, life is about choices. Life is about choices. It's all about choices. And you hear people say sometimes, "Oh my, why did God let that happen? Oh, that's so terrible. Look at that. I think I'll stop believing in God, because what kind of a God would allow that to happen?" I tell you what kind of a God let that happen. He's a God who dignifies us with freedom to choose. He's given people choice. We see that with Adam. The book of Genesis is the book that lays the foundation for the whole Bible. All the principles are there in Genesis. I know down the road, you know, some people say, "Well, are we predestined? What about, you know, Calvinism and all this kind of business?" Well, right there in Genesis, one of the first words that is ever seen in the Bible, we learn that Adam was created with freedom of choice, and he chose. And we've been choosing ever since. Well, that does away with that Calvinistic idea of predestination. Adam had choice. Life is about choices. You guys and gals will be making choices. You make choices every day. God's law of the harvest. Remember that? I talked about that some weeks ago. You reap what you sow. Doesn't happen instantaneously. In fact, whether it's good or bad results, you sow here and you wait. But boy, that harvest is going to come. It's a law. God's law of the harvest. Now, sometimes people suffer because of choices that somebody else made that is significant in their life, and that's a terrible thing, but it all still goes back to human choice. Life is about choices. Sometimes we choose to unplug our GPS. I did that on vacation just this summer. We pulled out of Athens, Georgia, driving down a road, missed our road. The GPS wasn't clear in my thinking, at least, or I didn't hear it correctly. Wound up on a road out in the hills of Georgia. My stars. The GPS was still jabbering at me. I was getting frustrated. I said, Nikki, unplug that thing. I chose to unplug the GPS and got more lost. Now, what is God doing while we are choosing even to unplug the GPS? You know what He's doing? Listen to me now. Remember, life is about choices. What is God doing while we choose? He is looking down at us and saying, oh, why did He choose that? I told Him not to do that. What am I going to do now? I've got to figure out a way to get Him out of that mess. And so God starts reacting to my choices. It's not what He had in mind. He tried to tell me not to do it, but I did it anyway. I chose to do it another way. And immediately, God starts reacting to those choices to get me out of that mess. You know what that's called? You know what it's called? There's a Bible word for it. Grace. Grace. And then I hear the voice of the GPS. I may not hear it till I'm ready to hear it, but that voice is recalculating. Recalculating. As soon as it is safe, go back and make a U-turn and go the way I told you. You know what that's called? Yeah, there's a Bible word for it. Jeff's mouthing it. Repentance. Repentance. Now, when I unplug the only GPS in my life and live that way, I'm talking about ignoring. I'm talking about never seriously giving it any consideration, never studying it, never taking its advice. You know what that's called? That's stupid. Amen. Yeah. That's stupid. I'm hesitant to use that word because I used it one time years ago in a sermon, and a mother reported to me that her child came up to her and said, Mommy, you always told me never to use that word. So I'm respectful of it, but I just couldn't think of a better word, a more powerful word to describe what I do when I choose to unplug the only guidance system for my life. Proverbs 14:12, and it's so important that it's said twice. That verse, I don't know if there's any exactly a verse like it that's said identically twice. The first time, Proverbs 14:12, the second time in Proverbs 16:25. Exactly the same in both places. Maybe it's repeated exactly the same because it is so vital, so important. For emphasis, it's given to us. Here's what it says. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Let's read it again. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. You've unplugged your GPS. Things still going pretty good. Don't get excited, my friend. It may go good for a long time. You may get by with it for a long time. But I guarantee you, in the end, it leads to death. Now, is that where you intend to go? You need to decide. What I'm saying this morning, this lesson is simply this. Stay close to Jesus. Hang on every word. In your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Really. Do life His way. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. John 14:6. Jesus will give you direction for every intersection of your life. I'm serious. There is not anything with which you struggle that Jesus will not speak to. He will give you direction. It may not be the direction you want to hear. It may not be where everybody else is going. Because you have become so disoriented, you don't know where true north is, and so it discombobulates everything in your own instinct, what He says. We call that being counterintuitive. What Jesus says may be counterintuitive for you. But start reading the Gospels every day. Every day, you take a portion of what Jesus said and you form the intent, Lord, I'm going to the best of my ability today allow You to be my GPS. You know what's going to happen? When you are faced with that fork in the road or that intersection, even if you can't remember exactly what Jesus said, even if you can't remember the words or where it's located in one of those Gospels, you will know what He would say. It's amazing. But we sense that all the time in our personal relationships. I pretty well know when I do something what Nikki's going to say about that. I really do. Maybe she hasn't said anything about it. But I pretty well know. And start gearing up for it. Husbands, we do that, don't we? I just had to have it. Bring it home. But I've given some thought to how I'm going to present it. Because I know. When you know Jesus, you know. To the point, the older you get, it just becomes sort of automatic. Because you know. Form the intent to live His way. Stop the foolishness. of fashioning Jesus into your image or someone else's image. And folks, do this. Because of your life and the way you live, stop making Jesus look silly or foolish or impotent. If you claim Jesus as Lord, make Him Lord in every corner of your life. That's my lesson this morning. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Father, long before GPS systems came to be, You proclaimed and announced Your gracious willingness to guide us. Father, I have to confess to You, so often I've been just downright stupid to ignore what You say or to do it another way in spite of what You say. Father, forgive me. Help all of us, Father, in this congregation not only say Jesus is Lord, but make Him Lord. The Lord that is described in Your precious Scripture. And Father, help us to do it really. In His name we pray. Amen.